Turning God's Word this morning to the prophecy of Jeremiah again. Jeremiah chapter 4. Last night we looked at God's Word to Jeremiah in chapter 1, the vision that God showed Jeremiah of the almond tree, and God's declaration that He hastens and watches His Word to perform it. And this morning we look at one of Jeremiah's sermons that God gave him to preach to the people, and hear that sermon to ourselves at the beginning of our year as well. Jeremiah chapter 4, we'll read the first 18 verses, and then our text will be verse 3. We'll read that text a second time, and then read two other passages, one from Hosea chapter 10, verse 12, and then Matthew 13, which are commentaries on verse 3. First of all, not then, Jeremiah 4, verses 1 through 18. If thou wilt return, O Israel, saith the Lord, return unto me. And if thou wilt put away thine abominations out of my sight, then shalt thou not remove. And thou shalt swear, the Lord liveth, in truth, in judgment, and in righteousness. And the nations shall bless themselves in him, and in him shall they glory. For thus saith the Lord to the men of Judah and Jerusalem, break up your fallow ground, and sow not among thorns. Circumcise yourselves to the Lord, and take away the foreskins of your heart, ye men of Judah and inhabitants of Jerusalem, lest my fury come forth like fire and burn that none can quench it, because of the evil of your doings. Declare ye in Judah, and publish in Jerusalem, and say, blow ye the trumpet in the land. Cry, gather together, and say, assemble yourselves, and let us go into the defense cities. Set up the standard toward Zion. Retire, stay not, for I will bring evil from the north, and a great destruction. The lion is come up from his thicket, and the destroyer of the Gentiles is on his way. He has gone forth from his place to make thy land desolate, and thy cities shall be laid waste without an inhabitant. For this gird you with sackcloth, lament and howl, for the fierce anger of the Lord is not turned back from us. And it shall come to pass at that day, saith the Lord, that the heart of the king shall perish, and the heart of the princes, and the priest shall be astonished, and the prophets shall wonder. Then said I, ah, Lord God, surely thou hast greatly deceived this people and Jerusalem, saying, ye shall have peace, whereas the sword reacheth unto the soul. At that time shall it be said to this people and to Jerusalem, a dry wind of the high places in the wilderness toward the daughter of my people, not to fan, nor to cleanse, even a full wind from those places shall come unto me. Now also will I give sentence against them. Behold, he shall come up as clouds, and his chariot shall be as a whirlwind. His horses are swifter than eagles. Woe unto us, for we are spoiled. O Jerusalem, wash thine heart from wickedness, that thou mayest be saved. How long shall thy vain thoughts lodge within thee? For a voice declareth from Dan, and publisheth affliction from Mount Ephraim. Make ye mention of the nations. Behold, publish against Jerusalem, that watchers come from a far country, and give out their voice against the cities of Judah. As keepers of a field are they against her round about, because she hath been rebellious against me, saith the Lord. Thy way and thy doings have procured these things unto thee. This is thy wickedness, because it is bitter, because it reacheth unto thine heart. This is God's holy and inspired word. May He bless it to our hearts this morning. Our text is verse 3. For thus saith the Lord to the men of Judah and Jerusalem, break up your fallow ground, and sow not among thorns. And let's read also Hosea chapter 10, verse 12. Hosea 10, verse 12, which uses the same figure of breaking up fallow ground and gives further explanation to what that involves. Hosea 10, verse 12. Sow to yourselves in righteousness, reap in mercy, break up your fallow ground, for it is time to seek the Lord, till He come and rain righteousness upon you. And then let's read also Matthew 13, a few verses from Matthew 13, which is Jesus' parable of the sower. Matthew 13, verse 3, first of all. And Jesus spake many things unto them in parables, saying, Behold, a sower went forth to sow. And then verse 7, And some of the seed fell among thorns, and the thorns sprung up and choked them. And then verses 22 and 23. He also that received seed among the thorns is he that heareth the word, and the care of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and he becometh unfruitful. But he that receiveth seed into the good ground is he that heareth the word and understandeth it, which also beareth fruit, and bringeth forth some an hundredfold, some 60, some 30. And all of that as explanation of our text, For thus saith the Lord to the men of Judah and Jerusalem, Break up your fallow ground, and sow not among thorns. Beloved congregation in our Lord Jesus Christ, the calling of the text before us this morning is to break up our fallow ground. And to get right to the point of what that means, that is a call to repentance. That's the doctrine, and that's the truth that this text teaches, the doctrine of repentance. There are many things that we could consider as a congregation at the beginning of a new year. We could consider the truth of God's providence, because we know that in this year, God, by His sovereign, powerful hand, will guide us in everything, so that all things which befall us in the year 2020 come not by chance, but by God's fatherly hand. We could consider the return of our Lord Jesus Christ and the doctrine of the second coming, because we look for that second coming. And the passing of one year and the beginning of another reminds us that we are that much closer to the return of our Lord Jesus Christ. There are many things that we could consider at the beginning of a new year as a congregation. But there is this truth that is good for us to consider as a congregation, and that is the call to us to repent. The call to us to break up our fallow ground, and to do that not as a one-time event now and again, but as the continuous, constant life of the child of God within this world. The calling comes to us day in and day out, moment by moment, and year by year. Break up your fallow ground. Repent of your sins. Repent of your sinfulness. And fly to Jehovah God. And find His mercy in the Lord Jesus Christ. The calling comes to us who carry around with us this year our old man of sin and who are tempted tremendously by the devil and the world and our own flesh. The call comes to us, repent, my people, repent. Break up your fallow ground. The doctrine that we consider this morning then is the doctrine of repentance. And that repentance is a beautiful gift of God to His people. Repentance is a beautiful, beautiful gift. Repentance is one of the blessings of salvation that our Lord Jesus Christ has earned by His death on the cross. Repentance is one of the gifts of salvation that God applies to us by His Holy Spirit, bestows upon us by that Spirit. Repentance is a beautiful gift of God, and it is beautiful. We can see the beauty of that repentance if we just consider the relationship of repentance to a few aspects of our lives. Consider the relationship of repentance to prayer. how unseemly, how wicked, and how proud it would be for an impenitent man to pray to burst into the throne room of God full of himself, full of his works, and demand of God on the basis of himself and his works this, that, and the next thing. That's unseemly. That's wicked. The child of God, to whom the Lord has given the gift of repentance, comes before the throne of God humbly, comes before the throne of God broken, comes before the throne of God seeking the mercy of Jehovah and crying out to God. That's a beautiful gift of repentance. Or consider the relationship of that gift of repentance to sin. How unseemly and ugly it is for a man to live in sin impenitently, to treasure up to himself sin, to protect that little corner of sin in his heart, and to live impenitently in that sin. How damaging that is to him. How miserable that is for him. How that wrecks the lives of his family and the people around him. But how beautiful is the gift of repentance that God gives so that a child of God, broken over his sins and sinfulness, hates those sins, does not want to live in those sins, and seeks more and more the grace of his God in the Lord Jesus Christ. Repentance is a beautiful, beautiful gift of salvation. And repentance is a gift. And that perhaps is not always kept sight of. There's the tendency, or can be the tendency, to think that repentance is not God's gift to us, but that repentance is our gift to God. And that God, on his part, maybe at one end of the table, has all of the blessings of salvation there ready to give to us. There is the forgiveness of sins he's ready to give to us. There is peace that he's ready to give. There is contentment. There is sanctification. There is the experience of covenant fellowship and union and communion with God. God has all of those gifts on his side of the table, but now we on our side of the table have to give this gift of repentance to him first, being sorry for our sins. We have to give that gift, pushing it across the table, and then once God receives our gift, then he'll bestow upon us all the gifts of salvation on his side of the table. But that's not the truth of repentance. The truth of repentance is that it is not our gift to God, but repentance itself is his gift to his church. Repentance is one of the blessings of salvation. Repentance is a blessing of salvation, a gift of salvation, like the forgiveness of sins is a gift of salvation. Repentance is a blessing of salvation, a gift that God gives to us, like sanctification is, like peace, like experience of covenant fellowship. All of these things belong to God, and God gives these things to us as gifts of our salvation. And that makes repentance a beautiful, beautiful spiritual gift that the child of God delights in and rejoices to receive from the hand of God. And that's striking, that the Church of Jesus Christ delights in repentance, because repentance is sorrow. Repentance is brokenness. It's the breaking up of fallow ground. And yet the child of God, given that gift of repentance, delights in it as a good gift of salvation from God to us. And so at the beginning of the year 2020, we consider this beautiful gift of God to us of repentance and hear the call of Jehovah. Byron Center Protestant Reformed Church, ye men of Judah and Jerusalem, break up your fallow ground and sow not among thorns. The theme of the sermon this morning then is break up your fallow ground. In the first place, we consider the meaning. In the second place, we consider the accomplishment. And in the third place, we consider the righteousness that is ours. Break up your fallow ground, the meaning, the accomplishment, and the righteousness, which righteousness Hosea 10 verse 12
refers to.
In Jeremiah 4, verse 3, we have a sermon that God gave Jeremiah to preach to the men of Judah and Jerusalem. In this sermon, Jeremiah said, "Ye men of Judah and Jerusalem, break up your fallow ground and sow not among thorns." God gave Jeremiah here a picture in order to teach the men of Judah and Jerusalem the reality, the spiritual reality of repentance. And the picture is that of fallow ground and the breaking up of fallow ground. The picture here then is that of a field. And the custom in Palestine was to plow and plant a field for 2 years, and then the third year, and maybe the fourth year, and the seventh year, certainly, let that field lie fallow. Don't break it up, don't plow it, but let it lie fallow. That means then that the soil of that field, that third year or that seventh year, whichever year it was that the farmer would let it lie fallow, the soil of that field would not be touched by a plow or by a sickle or by a harrow, but would be left untouched. The soil of that field would bake under the sun, the hot sun in Palestine. Weeds and thorns would grow in that field. And if any seed had fallen on that field or been sown foolishly in that field, that seed would not have taken root and would not have been able to spring up, either because the ground was too hard, not having been cultivated, or because the thorns would have choked out the seed as soon as it had grown a little ways. That field was fallow. That field was hard. That field would bring forth no fruit. Other fields that the farmer had would be plowed and cultivated and planted and tended, and they would bring forth fruit, but not this fallow field. And God compares that fallow field to the hearts of the men of Judah and Jerusalem. God says to them, "Your hearts are hard, like that field that has not been plowed. Your hearts are not receptive to the word. Your hearts are not receptive to the admonitions. Your hearts are hardened against it. There are thorns in your hearts. And the calling, therefore, to you, men of Judah and Jerusalem, is break up that hardness. Break up your fallow field. Take the plow and the harrow and the sickle to it to cut down all of the weeds, to dig into the earth, and to carve deep furrows into your hearts. Break up your fallow field and sow not among thorns." What God is describing here is the call to repentance then. That repentance which is being sorry for our sins and tender-hearted with regard to sin rather than being hard-hearted with regard to sin. And that's evident from the rest of the passage in Jeremiah 4. "Break up your fallow ground," says God. "Circumcise yourselves to the Lord and take away the foreskins of your heart, ye men of Judah and inhabitants of Jerusalem, lest my fury come forth like fire and burn that none can quench it because of the evil of your doings." There's where the idea of repentance comes out. "Ye men of Judah and Jerusalem, you have sinned and you are hardened in those sins. Now break up that hardness. Break up your fallow ground." And that description, that figurative description, teaches us as the church what repentance is. Repentance is that sorrow over sin, yes. But we can describe repentance this way. It's the breaking of your heart and the breaking of my heart. That's repentance. Repentance is the carving into your hard heart and my hard heart, a deep furrow by the plow of God that turns over that hardness, that busts up the clods of that sin, that cuts down all of the weeds and thorns and thistles of iniquity that we love and that by nature we serve. That's repentance. The plow of God comes and touches your heart and mine and carves a furrow of sorrow into that heart. The result of that carving of the plow of God in our hearts is that the child of God has a heart that's very sensitive and soft and tender towards sin. The heart of the child of God is not hardened anymore. The heart of the child of God does not say, God, you stay away from this field this year and at this time because I have sins here that I'm tending and I'm cultivating and that I'm indifferent to or that I love. The heart that's been plowed by the plow of Jehovah and had its hardness broken up and its weeds torn out is a heart that's soft and tender and sensitive to sin. The call to the men of Judah and Jerusalem then was, break up your fallow ground and sow not among thorns. And that's the call that comes to you and to me this morning as well. Where is your heart fallow? And where is mine? There are places in our hearts that have been plowed by the gospel of God, places that are sensitive to sin, so that there are certain sins that horrify us, that we're repulsed by. That's the grace of God. But are there corners of your field, corners of your heart, that lie fallow? You have not broken up, that I have not broken up. Places where we are hard and hardened in our sin. Places, corners that we are tending all for ourselves. That's gross wickedness to have those fallow corners and those fallow fields in our hearts. That saying to God will allow you in to part of our hearts. We want you to do your work here and there, but there are places where we do not want you to come. Stay away from our fallow fields. Is that the sin of anger or the sin of a short temper that we're hardened in? Is it the sin of pride and being full of ourselves that we're hardened in? Is it the sin of adultery and fornication and lust that we're hardened in? Is it the sin of a sharp tongue, a gossiping tongue against our neighbor that we're hardened in? Is it the sin of love of the world and worldliness that we're hardened in? What are the fallow corners and fields of our heart? The Word of God comes to the Church of Jesus Christ, you men of Judah and Jerusalem, break up your fallow ground and sow not among thorns. And very definitely, when God gives this call, He's speaking to the hearts of the men of Judah and Jerusalem. He is not talking about external behavior, first of all. He says, ye men of Judah and Jerusalem, break up your fallow ground and sow not among thorns. And immediately follows that in verse 4, by circumcise yourselves to the Lord and take away the foreskins of your heart. Of your heart. And then verse 18, thy way and thy doings have procured these things unto thee. This is thy wickedness, because it is bitter, because it reacheth unto thine heart. God is not interested this morning and this year in mere external conformity to His law, but He requires that our hearts be broken with the plow of the gospel, that our hearts be broken in true repentance. Consider these men of Judah and Jerusalem. Externally, their fields were plowed. Externally, they had no fallow ground that anybody could point to. They were circumcised men, every last one of them. That's evident from verse 4 when God says, circumcise the foreskin of your heart. The foreskin of their flesh needed no circumcision because they were circumcised. These men had obeyed that law. These men went to the temple and listened to a prophet speak. That's how they heard this sermon. This was a sermon of Jeremiah either in the temple or just a couple of miles away from the temple in Anathoth, where Jeremiah began his ministry. But it was a sermon of a prophet that these men of Judah and Jerusalem went to hear. Externally, everything was good and everything was right. And these men would have supported each other too. And that if someone had said to him, you have fellow ground, you have to plow up, all of their friends would have said, he has no fellow ground. He's a good man. He's gone to the temple and he listens to the prophet and he's circumcised and he follows the law. There's no fellow ground. But God's call to break up the fallow ground was a call that penetrated right to the heart. That's the fallow ground. That's where there may be no hard, weedy corners. Break up your fallow ground, ye men of Judah and Jerusalem. And that's the way the Word of God works, as it came to those men and as it comes to us today. That Word cuts deep. That Word does not stop with external things. What everyone else may say, and all the praise that everyone else may heap upon us, and all the good things they might say about us, and the good things that we have done. This Word of God cuts right to the heart. It's a harrow. No, a plow that digs deep and cuts deep furrows in the hearts of the children of God. Break up your fallow ground and sow not among thorns. And this is a call to repent continuously. This call to repentance is not this. Once in a while, make sure that you break up your fallow ground, once a year or two, or once a week, or maybe on Sunday. This isn't even a call. When you recognize that you've sinned, then that's the time to go break up your fallow ground in repentance. But this is a call, continuously be breaking up your fallow ground, continuously sow not among thorns, so that your whole life, every moment of it, is a life of repentance. Every moment of your life is a life with the gospel of Jesus Christ plowing a furrow through your heart of sorrow over your sins and repudiation of yourself and your evil works and seeking Jehovah and Him alone. Break up your fallow ground every day. That means for the Church of the Lord Jesus Christ, it's a calling to break up our fallow ground all year long. Not just today and Sunday and now and then, but all year long, repent and break up your fallow ground. And this is a call that comes to the church as the church of Jesus Christ. It does come to us individually too. Ye men, ye individual men, break up your fallow ground. And sow not among thorns. As individuals, we're called to repent. But this was a word spoken by Jeremiah to the nation at a time of her sin and her continued apostasy. Ye men of Judah and Jerusalem, ye men of Judah and Jerusalem who are currently busying yourselves in your opposition to God, though outwardly you look good, though outwardly you're circumcised, though outwardly you hate the Babylonians and are not making common cause with those enemies of Jehovah, inwardly they did not love the Lord. Inwardly they had evil thoughts and spoke evil regarding the neighbor, so that the whole land, as other chapters of Jeremiah show, ran with blood, was filled with violence. Ye Church of Jesus Christ, repent as a church. and break up your fallow ground. That's the calling for the Church of Jesus Christ in the year 2020. Break up your fallow ground. Repent of your sins, personal sins, and if there are ecclesiastical sins, repent of them too. But how is that accomplished? Break up your fallow ground is the call. How is that repentance accomplished? This is how it's accomplished. God breaks up our fallow ground. God does this work of sowing not among thorns. God does this work of plowing our hearts deep with the gospel of Jesus Christ so that all those hard clods of sin and thorns and thistles of iniquity are broken up and rooted out. God does the work of breaking up our fallow ground. Now we need to demonstrate that because that's controversial today. It's controversial to say God breaks up our fallow ground. It's controversial to say God gives the gift of repentance so that repentance is entirely from God and of God. The thought is today that saying God does this work and gives this gift threatens and jeopardizes the responsibility of man. The thought is today that if we say God breaks up our fallow ground, that's going to imply that man is a stock and a block and that he just has to sit like a bump while God does all of the work. The thought is if we say that God breaks up our fallow ground, that somehow that will deny or that will teach that God repents for us or repents instead of us. That's not what God breaking up our fallow ground means. The fact that it's a gift of Him in no way means that we're bumps or stocks and blocks. It in no way means that God repents instead of us or in place of us. Man is a rational, moral creature. There's where we find the truth that man does the repenting. Man is not a stock and a block. But saying that God Himself breaks up our fallow ground in no way implies these things that are cast against it. The charge will be antinomianism. The charge will be hyper-Calvinism if you say that God breaks up our fallow ground. And so those who are threatened by that statement that God breaks up our fallow ground go about to safeguard the responsibility of man and make sure to insist that man has his part to play in this repentance, that man has his role, his cooperating role with God, his contributing role in this repentance. Beloved, it is not Reformed theology that needs to safeguard the responsibility of man. It is man's theology, or Pelagian theology, or Arminian theology, or conditional theology that needs to safeguard the responsibility of man. And man's theology has to safeguard the responsibility of man because in man's theology, salvation depends on that man and depends on his responsibility. And so the moment that the truth of the gospel is proclaimed, God breaks up our fallow ground. God gives this gift as repentance. It's not our gift to Him, but His gift to us. Then Arminian theology feels uncomfortable and needs to establish man's responsibility. It's entirely biblical and thoroughly confessional to teach that God breaks up our fallow ground, that repentance is accomplished by the sovereign good pleasure of Jehovah God. That's evident from the passage we read in Matthew chapter 13 and the parable of the sower. In that parable, there are fields. This idea of a field is a common figure in Scripture to describe the work of salvation. There are fields. There's a field that's choked with thorns. There's a field that's hard and trampled. There's a field where there are birds waiting to snatch up the seed. And there is a good field that will bring forth fruit. There are not only fields, but there is seed. And that seed is the Word and the Gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And there are not only fields and seed, but there is a farmer or a sower who goes forth to sow. And that sower is Jehovah God. Jehovah God is the one who prepared that good field, who broke it up with His plow, who tilled it and planted it. Jehovah God, the farmer, is the preparer of that field. So that when we say the breaking up of our fallow ground is accomplished by God, we are simply saying what our Lord Himself indicated in this parable in Matthew 13. This was also the conscious experience and confession of the Apostle Paul in 1 Corinthians 3, verse 6. Again, using the figure of planting and watering a field, Paul says in 1 Corinthians 3, verse 6, I have planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. Apollos and Paul were no stocks and blocks in the preaching of the gospel. But after Paul looks at all of his planting and all of Apollos watering, he acknowledges all of the increase of the salvation by this gospel came from Jehovah God. And that same thing is true with regard to the breaking up of the fallow ground of our own hearts. God gives this repentance as a gift to His people. He plows the furrow of sorrow over our sins to His people. This is the gift of God. And that truth is confessional as well. In the Canons of Dort, Head 5, which you can find on page 74 in the back of the Psalter if anyone wants to follow along. Head 5, Article 5, we read this regarding repentance. By such enormous sins, however, God's people very highly offend God, incur a deadly guilt, grieve the Holy Spirit, interrupt the exercise of faith, very grievously wound their consciences, and sometimes lose the sense of God's favor for a time, until, on their returning into the right way of serious repentance, the light of God's fatherly countenance again shines upon them. Returning to the right way of serious repentance. There's the call of the text to us this morning. Break up your fallow ground, and sow not among thorns. Return to the right way of serious repentance. But how is that repentance accomplished? How does one come into the right way of serious repentance? That's Article 7. After Article 6 teaches that God preserves His people, does not allow them to be totally deserted, we read Article 7, for in the first place, in these falls, He preserves in them the incorruptible seed of regeneration from perishing or being totally lost. And again, by His Word and Spirit, certainly and effectually renews them to repentance, to a sincere and godly sorrow for their sins, that they may seek and obtain remission in the blood of the Mediator, may again experience the favor of a reconciled God, through faith adore His mercies, and henceforward more diligently work out their own salvation with fear and trembling. How is it that one breaks up the fallow ground in his heart and returns to the right way of serious repentance? This is the gift of God by His Word and His Spirit who renews them effectually unto that repentance. And God does this work by His Word and by the call of the Gospel that He brings to us today, which is the call, repent. And the call, break up your fallow ground. That call exposes what we would otherwise be blind to. It exposes the fact that we have fallow ground. We can be like those men of Judah and Jerusalem who have everything right externally and who have done a very good job of covering up our fallow ground to the eyes of other men. But when God comes with the call, break up your fallow ground, He says, you have fallow ground. You have hard spots in your fields and in your hearts. And the response of a man might be at first, I have no fallow ground. I can't find anything wrong with what I'm doing. Until that call exposes us and cuts into our soil. You have fallow ground. Break it up. And sow not among thorns. That Word of God then effectually and effectively renews our hearts. That call of God brings forth by the gift of God faith in our hearts. And there's the key connection in the call to us to break up our fallow ground. The key connection is faith. That's evident from Hosea 10 verse 12. In Hosea 10 verse 12, God says, sow to yourselves in righteousness, reap in mercy, break up your fallow ground, for it is time to seek the Lord till He come and rain righteousness upon you. What does it mean to break up our fallow ground? According to Hosea 10 verse 12, it doesn't mean this, that we turn to our hearts and now by the strength of our own will, we're going to break up the fallow ground. It doesn't mean this, we give ourselves a big pep talk and say, now, don't sin anymore and stop loving that sin. But to break up our fallow ground means it is time to seek the Lord. And that's Hosea's description of faith. Seeking Jehovah, turning away from ourselves, and turning to God as the only one who can dig deep enough in my heart to root out those weeds, as the only one who can take away that stony heart and give me a heart of flesh, as the only one who can plow furrows of repentance in the heart of a sinner such as me. It is time to seek the Lord as the one who gives this gift of repentance. That's our life then, as the Church of Jesus Christ in the year 2020, seeking the Lord by faith, that He will expose our sin, that He will root it out, that He will allow no untouched corner of our heart to go on impenitently in this year. Seek the Lord, beseech Him by faith to break up our fallow ground. There's a negative side to that too. Seeking the Lord is the positive side of it. The negative side of it means that I repudiate myself, that I do not trust in myself and do not look to myself for any of this gift of salvation of repentance or for any other gift of salvation either. If I am to seek the Lord, and if I am seeking the Lord, that means I'm not seeking myself. That means I'm not going to my own will. to my own activity, to my own work, as that which will root out this sin of my life. Oh, we are to work at this. We are to strive at this. We are not to love sin, but to hate sin. We are called to be busy and active in that hatred of sin and in that love of Jehovah God. The Reformed faith never teaches that man is a stock and a block in this or in any of his repentance or life of obedience to God. But in all my striving and laboring and working, I don't turn to that striving and laboring and working as that which will root out my sin. But in all my striving, I repudiate myself and seek the Lord as He who breaks up the clods of sin in my heart. And that's the experience of the child of God too. That exactly because this repentance is a gift that is bestowed upon us by Jehovah, that exactly for that reason, the child of God is busy and active and labors strenuously in his repenting. The gift of Jehovah is what makes us break up our fallow ground. And all of this, in all of this, we receive what Hosea 10 verse 12 calls the reign of righteousness. Break up your fallow ground, for it is time to seek the Lord till He come and rain righteousness upon you. That heart of the child of God, broken up by the plow of the gospel, is rained upon by Jehovah with the refreshing rain of righteousness. The idea in Hosea as well as in Jeremiah is not this, that our repentance and our breaking up our fallow ground obtains for us the righteousness of Christ. That repentance is what brings to us these gifts of salvation that come through the righteousness of Jesus Christ and through His cross. That's that wrong idea of God on one end of the table and us on the other end of the table. God with all of His gifts of salvation waiting to bestow on us, and we with our gift of repentance giving to Him and by that obtaining all of the gifts of salvation, including the gift of righteousness, including the gift of the forgiveness of sins. That's not how this works. That gift of repentance, too, is one of the gifts that Jehovah comes and brings to us, not on one end of the table to another, but by coming right into our hearts by His Spirit and bestowing upon us all of these things. The idea here is not that repentance obtains righteousness and the forgiveness of sins. There's only one thing that obtains that righteousness, and that is that seeking the Lord from Hosea 10, that faith. Because faith is the opposite of giving to God. Faith is the opposite of pushing across the table something to Him. Faith has nothing to give. Faith only receives. And this salvation, this reign of righteousness, is obtained by faith, that it might be by grace, by the pure sovereign gift of Jehovah God alone, earned on the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ alone. Our Lord Jesus Christ not only earned that gift of righteousness, but earned every other gift of salvation for us by His cross, including the Holy Spirit and including the repentance that Spirit works in our hearts by the preaching of the gospel. The Church of Jesus Christ obtains through faith the righteousness of the Savior Himself, so that we stand before Jehovah God without any spot and are refreshed by those rains of righteousness that fall upon us. And now, what shall the life of the child of God be, having received that gift of salvation by faith? Why, a life of repentance, a life of breaking up our fallow ground and sowing not among thorns. My God, who has given me all these riches in Jesus Christ, is a God worthy of honor. And I, who had to be redeemed by the blood of His Son, by grace alone, am worthy of no honor and cannot trust in myself. So that from now until the day the Lord receives us to heaven, we break up our fallow ground by seeking Jehovah and having His gospel plow that repentance in our hearts. And so at the beginning of the year 2020, ye men of Judah and Jerusalem, break up your fallow ground and sow not among thorns. Amen. Our Father which art in heaven, we come before Thee with gratitude for Thy word, with sorrow for our sin, with shame for our iniquity. Forgive us and receive us, not for our worth or works, but for Jesus' sake. And Father, break up our fallow ground. Grant that in this year and all our days, we may repent before Thee for Jesus' sake. Amen. Psalter number 402. Oh, sing ye hallelujah. 'Tis good our God to praise. 'Tis pleasant and becoming to Him our songs to raise. Verse 4, no human power delights Him, no earthly pomp or pride. He loves the meek who fear Him and in His love confide. Let's sing the stanzas 1, 4, 5, and 6, the first and the last three of 402.
Oh,
grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen.